Believe it or not, on September 15, 1917, Marshal Walter Pittman of Wharton, Texas, shot a bullet from his pistol down the barrel of a man who was trying to shoot him with his pistol. Believe it or not, in 1809, Count de Montendi rode 861 miles in 6 days on one horse. Believe it or not, the world's largest rabbit weighs 42 pounds. Believe it or not, you ain't heard nothing yet. Jesus' parable is as amazing as anything Ripley's Believe It or Not has ever found. Believe it or not, there can be sour unbelief in the face of sweet grace. You don't really catch the sweetness of the grace because of the way the insert translates two words. A man plants a vineyard, all right, but he doesn't rent it. He gives it out. At the conclusion of the parable, Jesus says the owner will give, which is Greek didomi, the vineyard to others. In the beginning, Jesus says the owner ekdidomi, the vineyard. That these can be understood as meaning the very same thing is clear from Matthew's account of the parable. He uses give out where Luke has give. The other word that trips you up is tenants. The insert has, when the tenant saw the son. Well, if they're tenants, that means they're renters. Well, the word translated farmers at the beginning of the parable is for no reason later translated tenants. A Greek dictionary says that Greek word means a tiller of the soil, husbandman, a vine dresser. The King James translates it husbandman all 19 times it occurs in the New Testament. We would say farmer. Remember, this is a parable. The vineyard stands for the Lord giving Israel the kingdom. This was an act of grace. Matthew says, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. Neither did the Lord give them the kingdom because they were more faithful than the people around them. They were. Abraham was an idolater like the rest of the people of Ur. Israel and Egypt worshipped the Egyptian gods too. Yet the Lord gave them the kingdom. And not at harvest time, but literally in season, the owner sent for the fruit. He wasn't being unreasonable. It was his vineyard and its crops were in season. And what did the Lord come seeking from his people? We talked about this a few weeks ago. He came seeking repentance and faith. He came preaching, drop your loads of sin, of guilt, of shame that you cannot carry and give them to me. Believe that I will carry these away from you. Believe it or not, they wouldn't do it. The parable has the owner sending servant after servant, even though they were beaten, treated shamefully, wounded, and thrown out. This is the prophet whom Jeremiah repeatedly describes the Lord sending with these words. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. Later, when Stephen asked these leaders, which one of the prophets didn't you persecute? They have no answer. Because they persecuted them all, from Abel to Zechariah, as Jesus says in Luke 11:51. But believe it or not, centuries of unbelief didn't sour God's grace. In the end, he sent his only beloved son to them. Believe it or not, there can be sour unbelief in the face of sweet grace. And believe it or not, there can be sweet grace in the face of sour unbelief. Remember, parables show you the inside the heart of God and man, which you cannot see on your own. Here Jesus shows us the Father deliberating this way. What shall I do after they have beaten, mistreated, and wounded every single prophet I ever sent them? I know, I'll send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. You've got to be kidding. Would you do that? Would you send your only child into a situation in which many of your employees had been hurt? Would you risk the well-being of your beloved child on a perhaps? Perhaps they will respect him? Believe it or not, That's what God the Father did. So much did He want their sins, so much did He want them to believe His Son would carry them away from them, He sends the Son in person. Grace so amazing, so divine, is absolutely unbelievable. But it gets better. The Old Testament church casting out and killing the Father's Son, that was the means of giving them the vineyard in the first place. This is the mystery Paul talks about in Ephesians 1. That God could know people as blameless and holy in Christ even before the foundation of the world. This is the mystery of Revelation. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. God saw the whole world through rose-colored glasses, you might say. Glasses that were tinted red by the blood of Jesus. Even before the world was created, He saw the world through the blood of Christ. So everywhere He looked, in Christ, He saw not our sins, but holiness. That's how God in Christ dealt with the world from eternity. But there came a point in time that the Son would actually have to shed His holy blood. Now comes that time. Believe it or not, by rejecting Jesus as their Savior, by delivering Him to the state for killing, they were fulfilling God's plan to save them. Why do you think in Gethsemane Jesus stopped His disciples from defending Him? Why do you think Jesus did not call on the legions of angels He could have to deliver Him? Why do you think Jesus said to His disciples that no man takes my life from me, I give it? Jesus only dies on the cross once it is finished. If Jesus was killed or even gave up His life before every last single guilt, shame, doubt, gossip, unbelief, lust, or failure was paid for, there would still be sins that needed paying for, and they just might be yours. Well, if all this good was worked by betraying Jesus, handing Him over, why are those who rejected and delivered Jesus up guilty? That's the same question reason asked about Judas. If he is only fulfilling God's plan, why isn't he to be praised? For one, God never forces anybody to do evil. God knows what will happen from the very beginning. He saw that sinful man would reject His sweet grace in unbelief. They would kill His only beloved Son in a crazy attempt to get the kingdom. He uses their very evil plan to shed His Son's blood to work the greatest good of paying for the world's sins to give Him His rose-colored glasses. Their unbelief, believe it or not, extended His kingdom. Their putting to death the Son didn't end the vineyard. It enabled the owner to give it to others. Before Good Friday, the prophets and the Son too were only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Once the Son dies while having the sins of the world on His back, once that payment is received by God the Father and acknowledged on Easter by raising the Son goes out preaching repentance and forgiveness to all nations. He sends baptizers into all nations. He says, whosoever sins His people forgive, they are forgiven. He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord is saved. Believe it or not, you know both the sourness of unbelief and the sweetness of grace. You know the grace of God giving you the vineyard. He has put you in His holy Christian church, and He sends for the fruit of repentance and faith in due season. He invites you to draw near with a true heart and confess your sins unto God your Father. He invites you to cry, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. He invites you to plead, O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. By the word of the law, still dimly readable in your fallen heart, and by the law clearly written in the Bible, you have been given all that is necessary to give the Lord's harvest of true repentance. I don't stop there. Believe it or not, it's for the sake of the absolution that follows that we have the confession of sins. Are you giving the fruit of faith the words of absolution produce? Do you believe the words of forgiveness I speak are the Lord's? You should, because I stand here in His place and by His command. He can command me to send your sins away from you because He owns them. He pled guilty to them on Good Friday, and then He died to pay for them. When the words of absolution come from my mouth and ring in your ears, the fruit the Lord is looking for you is you saying, Amen, Amen, yes, yes, I am forgiven. Believe it or not, you know both grace and unbelief. And for this reason, you do what the people in the text did. They couldn't bear to hear that the leaders of the church would be judged. They'd be killed by the owner of the vineyard. They say, may it never be. This is the default position of unbelief in our world. People think that as long as they believe no one will ever be judged for any sins, then they won't be judged either. This is wrong. This is unbiblical. But believe it or not, Jesus doesn't even respond to this unbelief in wrath, but with even more grace. The insert says, Jesus looked directly at them. Well, that's a many-word translation for the same word for look used when Jesus looks at Peter in the high priest's courtyard. It's a warm, recalling, winning look. Jesus says to them, in effect, the stone doesn't have to crush you as it did the church leaders who rejected him. Jesus is the rock that followed the Old Testament church in the wilderness and gave the water of salvation to all who drank in faith. Jesus is the capstone under which all may find shelter from God's wrath. Believe it or not, just because church leaders end up lost doesn't mean ordinary folks have to be. The text begins by saying Jesus went on to tell the people this parable. It is for your sake he speaks it. Ordinary people think church leaders, they must be closer to God than they are. But the prophets preached against the leaders of the church in the Old Testament. Jesus preached against the leaders of the church in his day. Luther preached against the leaders of his church in his own day. Our own Book of Concord says, in regard to the condemnation of false teaching, it is not our intention to mean persons who err naively. Neither do we wish to condemn whole churches. Our confession condemns only the false and seductive teachings and the stiff-necked teachers. Believe it or not, even if every pastor, teacher, priest, or pope were crushed by the rock of ages, he still would cleft to admit into the vineyard sinners fleeing their sins. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.